In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My grandma, God rest her soul, when I would want to get on her nerves, I would ask her, I would say, you know, where do you like it better? She was very, very old Chaldean lady, very traditional. And I would ask her, I would say, where do you like it more? You know, here in America or back home? You know, and she would go off right away. And she would say, you know, the way we lived back home was the best. It was very simple. It was great. You never would see what we see here in America. You know, she would just go off. And when I would push her saying, okay, but what's the issue? You know, why is it so different? You know, she would always tell me, she would say, well, as time goes, innocence starts to sort of break away and diminish, where people then begin to explore different things. And to Adam and Eve, their action means destruction, right? That's essentially what happened to Adam and Eve. Their eyes were opened, the author of Genesis tells us, which means that they were sort of exposed to sin and to temptation that they weren't exposed to before. So then innocence is broken. But I guess there is a truth where, and I've heard this from multiple people, it's not just my grandma, but it's people that say, you know, things were much better back in the day. We didn't have to deal with the things that we deal with now. It was very simple. People were much happier. We're not dealing with the same, you know, extreme craziness that we deal with now. But what does that mean for us? Because number one, we can't go back in time. And number two, I mean, no one really wants to live a life of sort of anguish and sorrow. You know, who wants to live that way? No one does. We all want to live in happiness. But what does that mean for us living in this society that's sort of crumbling before our eyes? And it's very evident that people back in the day, they did live a very simple life. They didn't deal with the things that we deal with now. They weren't as superficial as we are now. They weren't so obsessed with worldly things and money and cars and clothes and all of these things that we're obsessed with now. You know, sexual immorality was nowhere near where it is right now. The sins that we see in front of us now, it was sort of almost non-existent. But what does that mean? Are we just a sort of destructed society that has no hope to it? Or is there something more? Because I'll speak on, you know, on my own behalf by saying, I don't want to live a life that's sort of surrounded by a lot of darkness, surrounded by a lot of negativity, surrounded by a lot of destruction, saying, okay, well, the world's already on fire, you know, and I'm living in it, and I might as well just go throughout my life living in sorrow. I bring this up because Jesus addresses how we're supposed to live our lives in this world versus something else that he reveals to us at the end of this gospel today. Because one of the main reasons why we see a lot of sin around us, we see a lot of destruction around us, is because the world changes, and it's still going to change, and it's going to get worse. Just like my old professor used to say, cheer up, it's worse than you think. The more the world changes, the worse things get. The more our innocence is getting broken, the more sin increases. It's evident. It's evident that the world is going towards that trajectory right now. And because things change, that means people change as well. So now we have more problems. Now it's not just a problem of society in this world that's constantly changing for the worse. Now we're surrounded by people that change. I don't know if any of you have sort of experienced someone changing for the worse around you, whether it's a friend, it's a family member, a relative, but it's tough. It's really tough to deal with. And then we ask ourselves, okay, the world is changing for the worse. Society is changing for the worse. People are changing for the worse. Now what about us? Where does that leave us? Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. Now, that also doesn't sound fair. Why could the world rejoice But Jesus is telling us what is going to happen. He says, you will weep and lament. He's not saying probably, most likely, maybe. No, you will weep and lament. Jesus, what kind of life is this for us? Why does the world get to rejoice, but we get to weep and lament? What kind of life is that? Well, for Jesus, he's showing a very stark contrast between us and between the world. What's the difference? The world is always changing. Sin is always creeping at our door. People are always changing. But God does not change. That's the contrast. When people say, God is loving, God is truth, God is life, that's nice, but it's not complete. It's not accurate. It's more accurate to say God is love, God is peace, God is life. God does not change. He doesn't have attributes for him to change. He is what he is. He is who he is. And because he does not change, that means clinging to him makes the most sense in this entire scenario. Clinging onto someone that does not change means that the reason why we will weep and lament is because we're no longer like the world. We're no longer part of this world that is constantly changing and being broken into pieces. It's shattering. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why, especially in the medieval times, when you were a Christian, you stood out like a sore thumb. Because you stood for something that the rest of the world didn't. I mean, the Chaldean church is a perfect example of that. For thousands of years, all we've done was undergo persecution. Why? It's because we're different. We don't change according to how the world wants us to change. We don't move in the same currents as the world does. We stay confirmed in Christ. We stay close to Christ, someone who does not change. And here is a result of doing this. Then Jesus says, I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take this joy from you. He will see us again. What does that mean? After we may weep and lament for good reasons, because we're clinging onto Christ and not giving into these temporary pieces and ways of happiness that the world gives us, then we will see our reward, which is when Jesus comes for the second time. And he will come again. We see this during the Creed. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And brothers and sisters, the church does teach us that when Christ comes again, we will be judged accordingly, according to his mercy and his justice, whether we go to heaven, hell, or purgatory. And this is a reality that shouldn't sort of cause us to live in fear because we're scared of God's judgment, but to order our lives towards the way he wants it to, the way he wants our lives to move. And that's the reason why he says, and then when I will come again, no one will ever take your joy away from you. Because what we're building now on earth, it's not for an earthly temple. It's for a place in the heavenly kingdom of God that he has unlocked for us through his passion, death, and resurrection. Amen.